The Pharisees came up and started to question him, seeking from him a sign of heaven, to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting into the boat again, he departed to the other side. This episode is surprisingly short in St. Mark's Gospel compared with the same incident in Matthew's account, but it does provoke a lot of thought. 4,000 people had followed Jesus for 3 days, and he had just fed them with a few loaves and a couple of fish. One would think that it would be enough to satisfy anyone regarding the unearthly power of Jesus. The Pharisees had seen and heard of many things that the Lord had done for the sick and for those they considered beneath them. They were looking for signs of the coming of the Messiah that they considered would be appropriate. The whole tendency in this age being the belief that when the Messiah came, he would be accompanied by shattering signs from heaven, never before experienced, whereas signs from the earth were from Beelzebub. We note that the Pharisees began to question him, not that they started a discussion. Discussion tends to mean that all parties are seeking a solution or the truth. Arguments, in the colloquial sense, often become heated and can lead to quarrels, or worse. Jesus was not going to give them any more signs. This was not the time for the second advent, when wonderful and frightful events were foretold. This was a time for grace and mercy. The demand by the Pharisees for signs was not due to the desire to see the hand of God, but it was because they failed to see the hand of God in all things around them. The wonder of the dawn and the sunsets, the glorious colours of nature, the beauty and mystery of mathematics, inspirational music, the wonder of the human body, and so on. Signs from heaven were not given to those who tempted the Lord, but to those who sought him. It is the same today. When people are asked if they believe in God, their answer is so often the same, such as that natural beauty just evolves. Everything has evolved from something. But they have no answer when asked how it all began, and with whom, and with what. We say in Psalm 8, "When I see the heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you arranged, what is man that you should keep him in mind? Mortal man, that you care for him." And the poetess Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote, "Earth is crowned with heaven, and every common bush alive with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries." How pointless it is to argue with those like the Pharisees who have no intention of changing their minds and are not ready to listen or willing to change, who put their trust in things of this world rather than in God through Jesus. Jesus, his human heart, so heavy with the knowledge that the Pharisees were not ready to listen and were seeking only to discredit him, immediately left them to concentrate on those who wished to listen to him and learn from him and find justice and salvation. We can do the same. Any argument that becomes heated or contentious is a waste of time, whereas discussion can lead to enlightenment and agreement. Like Jesus, we can discuss our faith with those who are really searching for the truth and are not searching for the things of this world. But this does not mean that we preach only to those who are searching, but also to those who do not know God, but have open minds and hearts. Only the Holy Spirit can open the minds of the determinedly closed, and only if those minds change and become willing.